Now the NPR Cities Project takes us to one of the most magical and tragic cities in the world.
We have to make sure that our cities are safe.
How are we going to maintain a city?
Location, location, location.
If other cities can do it, we can do it.
We're going to Beirut, and we're reporting on how the places we live influence the way we live.
Beirut spreads out along the Mediterranean and climbs hillsides by the sea. Its narrow streets are filled with life.
But Beirut has a troubled past, so we'll explore how the ghost of a city's past affects its neighborhoods.
They affect who lives where, who interacts with whom. Beirut's ghosts are from a civil war in the 1970s and 80s, a war that still divides the city. NPR's Alice Fordham reports.
So I'm standing right in the heart of downtown Beirut. It's an elegant area. It's fringed with expensive buildings. It's a beautiful, sunny day, but there's no one here with me. There's no cafe here, no park, no place for people to hang out. The heart of Beirut is empty.
To understand why, let's drive west first to the Hamra area and meet architecture professor Mona Harab. She's my neighbour, and like me, she likes Hamra because it's mixed in terms of sect, class, education levels. But she says that's rare and that much of Beirut is divided.
It is a fragmented city made of more or less self-sufficient neighbourhoods or sets of neighbourhoods with clear segregated lines.
Back in 1975, a civil war began here which would create militias from all Lebanon's factions, Palestinian, Christian, Sunni and Shiite Muslims, minorities. Harab says people who lived in mixed neighborhoods fled in fear to be with their own people. Today, the city's still divided into mostly Muslim West, mostly Christian East with many subdivisions, and empty in the center where the worst of the fighting was. Harab says there was never a real post-war attempt to bring people back together. After the fighting ended, there was a lot of talk about unity and a state-backed reconstruction campaign. So they built this town centre, but it was too expensive, and people mostly stayed where they were.
At no point, urban policies that were developed by the state attempted to remedy the situation on the ground and started to think like, okay, let's think about ways of making people interact more, of encouraging people to live in each other's neighborhood. The idea of the west of Beirut and east of Beirut was still very, very strong.
To see what she means about the city's patchy reintegration, let's go see some places where folks mix and where they don't. We can start here in the west, at the site of one of the Civil War's bloodiest battlefields and a highly ghettoized neighborhood, the Shatila Palestinian Camp.
So, in a way, a camp isn't the right word for what I see around me here. There's no tents. It's a neighborhood, really, that's grown up over decades. There's narrow streets, houses clustered on top of each other. But you can get the feeling that you're not in Beirut here, that you've stepped into another place with its own politics, its own ideals.
These winding streets are too narrow for cars, so people use scooters or horses and carts to get around. There are pictures of Palestinian leaders everywhere. And here they remember one of the worst atrocities of the war, a massacre of mostly Palestinian civilians by Christian militias helped by Israeli forces in 1982. I run into Hassan, who was a teenage fighter at the time. He says the issues are still so sensitive, he won't give his last name.
It was killing and massacres of children. I was little, living in the same area where the massacre took place. I was at home, but I got out after the massacre finished. We found the martyrs in the streets, all bodies piled on top of each other.
He says these memories make it hard for Christian Lebanese and Palestinians to live alongside each other. Plus, it doesn't help that most Palestinians are poor and can't afford to move. But it has been 25 years since the end of the war. Some of those painful memories are fading. So there is some mixing. Hassan Ahmed makes kitchen furniture in a little workshop in the camp. He says people come from nearby suburbs as well as the camp to buy his work. Some people think this strong entrepreneurial spirit in Lebanon does more to bring people into other neighborhoods than any policy by the relatively weak state. Until recently, you could see this in action all over the place. Let's go south to a market in a suburb known as Dahir. The population is overwhelmingly Shiite, but the shopping's great, and over the years, people of all sects started to shop here. However, lately, as a sectarian war has raged next door in Syria, Sunnis and Christians have started to avoid the area, says young journalist Maitham Al-Qasir. Driving round, he points out the flags of the dominant Shiite factions.
Which is the green one is for Harakat Amal and the Nabih Berri party. And when you're going to see after that the yellow ones, which means you're in the territory of Hezbollah supporters.
Hezbollah, the Shiite militant group, is the most powerful one here. In the last couple of years, they've joined the highly sectarian fighting in Syria. So now relations between the Sunni and Shiite communities in Lebanon are more strained than they've been in years. And yet, there are some places not defined by sect. Let's finish up in East Beirut. We're on Jureau Street. It's close to the center of town. It's full of pretty old houses, and the bars are the best. There are plenty of people in Beirut, Muslims, Christians, and others, who aren't really all that religious and choose to dress in the latest fashions, yes, showing plenty of tanned skin, and head here for a riotous night out. Architecture professor Yasser Abu Nasser walks among the bars nestled in the old houses.
You can call it as a neutral ground in a way, you know, within this very contentious and, you know, polarized type of situation.
Some houses have sprays of bullet marks on their carved balconies. One has gorgeous street art of the great singer Fairuz. Several sell cocktails muddled with the herb za'atar, a Lebanese favorite. Is this a place to escape?
I would imagine yes. You know, people would actually leave their context and their background and come here and do what they want to do.
To get home from here, I usually walk west, jump into one of the shiny old taxis, and head through the noisy traffic, through the bright, empty heart of the city, on the way back to my neighborhood, my own little sliver of lovely, fragmented Beirut. In a Beirut taxi, I'm Alice Fordham for the NPR Cities Project.